on back to the Rad Rabbit Hole. What a sweater of a weekend for them boys in Oklahoma. All of them. Some not so much than the others, but welcome on back. If you watched the live stream for me and Jake, we did the live stream for the first half of the Oklahoma State, Iowa State game. If you watched, that was kind of a test run for us, just kind of get a live stream under our belts. You watched, thank you. I know there's only like six of them, but thank you still nonetheless. It was really cool. It was fun. I wish we could have done the second half, but I ended up getting last minute tickets to the MGK concert, which, by the way, what a time. That shit was unreal. But the logistics of it didn't make sense to do a second half show for us. And we will in the future, potentially this weekend for Ohio State, Penn State. I might do one myself. So if you're watching, be sure to subscribe or listening. Follow along on Spotify and follow us on Twitter at The Bake is here, at PrestonPool405 and at Jake Cart. Jake's Twitter analysis might be going down in the last week. He hasn't been on as much, but you know what? For the month, he's been up, and that's saying something. So speaking of being up, Jake, how down bad are you?
I mean, honestly, not really that much. I mean, the Twitter was difficult to see because everybody reposted the spot, you know, so it's like my whole feed is just the picture of Brendan Presley past the first down. So it's one of those things of like, okay, you know, it's one of those things. But I mean, honestly, the thing is we were dogs on the road in a hostile environment for homecoming. We're not supposed to win the game to begin with. And I would have been pissed if we got blown out, but we didn't. You know, the thing is we honestly should have won the game. All we have to do is make field goals. I would sign a petition to say that we never kick a field goal ever again in the state of Iowa. But, you know, it's one of those things that we miss two field goals. They make theirs. They win by three. I mean, the bad spot call is one of those things to where it's, you know, like I said a couple episodes ago, where I understand a bad judgment call. Like if you call a strike a ball and a ball a strike, like I get it. There's a difference between calling it short and just blatantly cheating. So it's one of those things that it just didn't go our way that time.
To be fair, they had a touchdown called back for a taunting call, which that, I mean, no matter who you're a fan of, that just shouldn't be the case. Like you shouldn't have a touchdown call back for taunting.
Yeah.
So on the flip side of things, Iowa State had a couple bad calls against them as well.
Here's what I'll say about that, dude, is that actually hurt us more. It doesn't sound like it, but the good thing about that call was it didn't affect the game because they scored two plays after that. But then that ref started doing makeup calls where he called a pass interference on Christian Holmes that was insane, where he didn't even get touched. The guy tripped over his own feet, like wasn't even – he was like 2 yards off of him, and then they called him pass interference, and then he got another pass interference and then holding. And like I said, I think you were with me watching the game where I was like, man, like it's one of those things to get called for holding, but you got to call it both plays.
Yeah.
And
yeah. There were a lot of,
they weren't.
There were a lot of calls that like, it just felt like at times it was one, like they would call one thing for Oklahoma State, wouldn't call it for Iowa State. Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you on that. You just, if they're going to make calls, you got to make the calls both ways. That just wasn't the case. They did cover though. So shout out for that. I went 2-1 this week with that cover for Oklahoma State. NC State did not cover the -3 against Miami. They ended up losing that game actually. And then Minnesota covered -5 against Maryland. So I went 2-1. I'm sitting at 18-12. Preston, what are you at? Do you want to talk about your record? Do you want to talk about how much, like, you've basically been sitting in a sauna all season because you're sweating every fucking game?
Yeah, no. Last week I made the choice to add that OU -38.5, which, yikes, we'll get into that later. I took an early week loss on that Coastal Carolina Appalachian State game. So I was like, damn, I need to add a sure winner. Turns out it was not a for sure winner, anywhere close to a for sure winner. But I went 2-2. I'm still sitting at 500 on 13-13 right now. So,
Jake, what are you at on the year? Or what'd you go last week? I don't know if you have your overall.
Well, I that's why I kind of felt bad about the Iowa State game, because on that Friday night game, I had Central Florida and they hit, and then I was like, oh no, I needed to fade myself, and now we're turning the tide. So I was 7-13 last week. Well, no, I went 8-14 in a push. So I got Central Florida, and then I had K-State plus one against Texas Tech, and they won by one and pushed. And then I had game day UCLA plus two, and they lost by three.
Yeah, so that's actually the first push. We actually mentioned it on the live stream. That's the first push of the year for this whole squad right here. And that's actually kind of impressive if you think about it. I mean, we've done picks, at least three picks each for what, 8 weeks now, and to have the first push of the year, that's actually kind of crazy and like almost unheard of.
I mean, bro, it's my luck this year. Like, it's just insane to push by 1 point.
Yeah,
like, it'd be different if it was 3 or 7 or 14
or like a 10-point push. But to have the first push be week 8, and let alone have it be a 1-point push, that's actually kind of fucking insane. But I mean, if you're watching and listening and you're following along with our picks, I think the safe bet right now is rolling with me, but I got a feeling the tides might shift, because I'm going to start focusing, because we're getting into this point of the season where now I'm focused on the Ohio State University, because we are back in business. I don't know how Bama jumped. Oh, first off, we're going to get into this real quick. We're going to talk about how Bama jumped OU. I think it's the right thing, but I don't think it should have been Bama. I think Ohio State should be sitting at number two. I think Cincy should have fell as well. Cincy and Ohio, OU played a 1-5 team, both basically almost lost. I know you guys pulled away from Kansas, ended up winning by 2 touchdowns, I think it was. And Cincy only won by like a field goal or whatever, but both those teams shouldn't be since he shouldn't have stayed still while OU drops. They both should have dropped. If one drops, they both should have dropped. Ohio State, they figured it out. They are number one in points on average. They're at 49.3, because I got it right here. They're number third total yards, 10th in pass yards, 42nd in rush yards. I truly think they have the best running core. They got the best running back in the nation, but they got the best wide receiver core probably in the nation. CJ Stroud's figuring his passing out, his game. He's getting into rhythm, and they're just really rolling. The defense isn't quite there yet, but I don't think they're going to have too much of an issue this weekend against Penn State. Penn State's offense can't do shit. I mean, they went 9 overtimes, which I don't know how they call that overtime after after the second one, they started doing 2-point conversions. So I don't understand how it's overtime. It's basically just a shootout. If you think about hockey or soccer, penalty kicks and shit like that, it's just like that. It's a shootout. It's not overtime. I don't know why they're calling it overtime, but Penn State's offense can't move the ball one bit. So this weekend, I actually don't have an issue. I don't see an issue that Ohio State has. I think they're going to fucking raw dog Penn State. I'm not taking the point. I'm not taking the spread though, because I am not doing that this late in the year. I'm not going to fucking break my heart twice. Not that I think it's going to happen, but I'm not going to let it be a possibility. So no Ohio State games that I'm going to pick, but I do think we are on the roll. I think it's Georgia's best defense, but Ohio State's the best offense. I think if they were to match up, it'd be pretty, I think it'd be probably a high scoring game. Cause I just don't think Georgia's offense they just can't really get it going. It's just that defense is stacked. I mean, Jake, what was that stat you sent to us the other day? 9 5-star recruits in all of the Pac-12. And 9 5-star recruits on Georgia's defense. That's just unreal. Yeah. It's unreal. But Preston, let's get into it, because I want to hear your thoughts on OU getting dropped, I think one spot, right? And Bama taking over. While I do think Bama would beat you guys on a neutral field, I don't think they should have been bumped up because of that loss. I mean, you guys haven't lost. That's clear. But I mean, Bama gets that Bama push. But I just think Cincy should have fell as well. What do you think about this whole AP poll? First of all, I don't think the AP poll matters. I think it's all whenever the college football playoff rankings come out
this week,
I thought it was next week.
It's November 1st, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, next, so week, whenever those come out, I think that's actually what matters. I don't, AP poll kind of doesn't really matter. But what are your thoughts even on that?
Yeah. I mean, the AP poll, they have guys that will, you know, for whatever reason, they cover certain teams. They'll rank schools lower than what they normally should just because they cover certain schools. So the AP poll, it's just one of those things that it's always been there and they're always going to use it. until, you know, now that we have the playoff system and those rankings come out. It's just one of those things like, yeah, it is what it is. I have no, these don't even matter. I don't really worry about the AP rankings much, just because I know the only ones that really matter when it comes down to it is going to be the playoff committee rankings.
Yeah. So do you think, all right, the top four right now is Georgia, Cincy, Bama, OU, Ohio State, Michigan. Do you think when those playoff rankings come out, do you think your guys going to be in the top four on that first one? I mean, pending you guys winning this upcoming, do you guys play this weekend or you got to bye?
Yeah, they play Tech at home this weekend. Yeah,
so I mean, pending any crazy losses, which I mean, that's not out of the question. You guys just almost lost to Kansas. But pending that, do you think you fit in that top four, top three spot?
Currently, no, not right now. I think there's teams that are playing better football than OU currently at the moment. But I mean, it just matters how much that the committee values like the loss and the undefeated record when it comes down to it. But I think when it comes to the playoff committee, they look at like the whole picture and how well a team is playing at the moment. And that's really how they do the rankings. Cause I mean, what the first year, the rankings came out, Mississippi State was like what, number one or number two, I think, I can't remember. And they ended the season.
Yeah.
I think outside the top 10 or just barely inside the top 10, something like that.
Do you think this this year, Cincy's getting different treatment than other group of five teams have in the past, like 2 years ago or last year or 2 years ago, was it Coastal Carolina? They didn't quite get the treatment, but Cincy's getting this weird treatment where they're actually getting seen as like legit. Are they? I mean, they just almost lost to Navy, which shout out Navy. That would have been awesome if they fucking beat them. But Cincy's getting some unreal treatment. They're sitting at number two, even with a close win. I think AP voters, you know, if they're going to drop OU, they got to drop. If they think Bama would beat OU on a neutral field, you got to think they would think Bama would beat Cincy on a neutral field. Am I right? Like that didn't really make any sense to me on how they move Bama up. And that I'm thinking their train of thought is that they would beat OU on a neutral field. And if that's it, if that's the case, you would also have to agree that they would beat Cincy on a neutral field. Am I right? Because I just think OU is better than Cincy. And then that's with all your issue.
And since he's played more consistent this year, like on offense, OU has not played very consistent on offense. They played the end of that Texas game and the TCU game were consistent on offense. Other than that, they've been fairly inconsistent on offense. And on defense, they started the year good on defense, and now everyone's gotten hurt, and it's just a complete shit show. So it's just one of those things that, like, since he – while their schedule might not be, you know, as tough as what an OU, OSU, or you know, an SEC school might play, they still are undefeated. They've put up what 50 something points every game except for this last week. So I think that's the main reason that they stay up there.
Yeah, and now go ahead.
Honestly, I think the thing is too is that they're looking ahead a little bit. I think the big difference between them is that they look at Bama's schedule and they look at OU's schedule, and they're thinking about OU going, well, they could lose Baylor, they could lose Iowa State, they could lose Oklahoma State, all those things. With Bama, it's more of like they're probably going to run the table all the way to the SEC title game, and then, you know, you're going to get that extra boost of, you know, having a big, you know, because here's the thing is if Bama runs the table and then beats Georgia in the SEC title, like Georgia and Bama probably will both get in. So it's one of those things that it's a tricky situation. But I mean, dude, I think the simple thing of it is 99% of the time, a win is a win. You get out with the win. But Kansas is different, is that when you struggle with Kansas, like, you know, that defense is 128th in the country, and it's not good, you know?
Yeah, so speaking of that, that's what I was going to get into is a couple weeks ago, I even put it out as a clip. I think every team, Georgia now might be able to squeak by with, you know, making it to the SEC championship game undefeated. But I think every team's going to take an L. I think every team is going to take an L at some point. I mean, we got Michigan State this weekend. That's 6-8. And then Michigan's really got I don't know if they play Penn State this year, but then they got Ohio State, which is probably, I mean, if record goes to show, that's probably going to be an L. So, I mean, every team is pretty much going to have an L. Preston, do you think OU is bound to have an L before? I mean, I just think how you guys have been playing. You guys are bound to take an L at some point before the Big 12 championship game. Do you
feel
as an OU fan that's the case?
the end of the schedule is like completely backloaded. They play Baylor, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State, and two of those are on the road. I think you could easily drop a game on the road for sure. That Baylor team looks very balanced on both sides. That's a sketchy one down in Waco. And then obviously OSU has the best, one of the best defenses in the Big 12. So that's also a sketchy one right there.
And that really actually hurts too, because I feel like late season losses hold more value than early season losses. Ohio State lost to Oregon like week two or week three. They were ranked, even though it was at home in the Shoe. But I feel like having it be an early season loss isn't weighed as much as a late season loss. And so you guys getting that backloaded, you know, schedule with Baylor, Iowa State, OSU. I mean, you take an L late in the season, that could, you know, that could sway some things. You know, obviously you guys are going to probably make it to the Big 12 championship game, win that. And, you know, depending on where Bama falls, because if it's Bama and Georgia, if they both make the playoffs, I mean, it's going to be a fucking bloodbath to see who gets into that final two spots. It's probably going to be Ohio State if they run the table. And then is it going to be Cincy? Is it going to be OU as a one-loss Big 12 championship? You know, if you guys take the L, and then is it going to be, is Oregon going to sneak in there? Like, what's going to go on there? Because if Bama runs the table and beats Georgia, there's going to be two SEC championship or two SEC teams in the playoffs. I don't think that's even, I don't think that's going to be debated. And I don't, not that I like it, I don't agree with it, but I don't think it'll be debated. But yeah, I think a late season loss is going to hurt you guys.
Oh, no, 100%. And every year they've made the playoffs so far, they've had like an early season loss. It's been to like a Texas, or I can't remember who they lost to 1 year. Yeah, K-State. And then like that 1 year they had Kyler that they made it to the playoffs. They faced Texas in the Big 12 championship game. So they got, the committee viewed it as like they avenged their one loss that season. And was able to make it in. So I think while end of the season, like you lose to Oklahoma State in Bellum and play again the next week and beat them in the Big 12 championship, I think the committee might view that kind of the same way, but I'm not sure how they would do it because we haven't really seen it from really any team that's made the playoff in recent years that's lost like late in the season and then like avenged that loss in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be one of the more interesting Georgia's either going to take an Alabama or they're going to go into the playoffs completely undefeated. I think that's the best case scenario to not have two SEC teams in the playoffs. But I really would like to see if Bama doesn't make it in, how it all plays out, because it's been an interesting year. There's been upsets left and right. I mean, week after week, you're seeing top 25 teams go down. You're seeing these teams that really have never been in the top 25. UTSA is up there. Iowa's, you know, still at number 9, I think. They're usually not like too high up. I mean, they were sitting at number 2 for 2 weeks or whatever it was. So it's been a really interesting year. So it's going to be cool to see how they work this playoff committee, the playoff rankings going into the final stretch of the year or the season. Jake, that L that you guys took to Iowa State. Now, if you can just run the table, because you guys have the L out of the way, you know, there's something about basketball. When we talk college basketball, we always talk about how, you know, you want to get that L. You don't want to be undefeated going in March Madness. You really don't. You want to get an L or something. Just kind of get, I mean, yeah, you want to be undefeated. You would love that. But as like a folklore type thing, you don't want to go into the final stretch of the year undefeated. Football is a little different. But now that you got an L off your chest, you're off your back, and you guys are going to go into the rest of the season. I mean, you can kind of work things out. Obviously, if you beat Oklahoma and the rest of the teams and you guys end up facing them again, it'll be tough. But what do you think now that you got that L off your back, and what's the final stretch of this year look like for you guys?
I mean, here's the thing, dude, is we've had four really tough games in a row, you know, at Boise State, Kansas State, Texas, you know, Iowa State. So it's like they're all top 25 teams back to back to back to back. And it was just, I think it was too tough of a road there, right there at the end. I mean, what hurts the most is that if we would have won this game, we would have been fully in the driver's seat because now our schedule actually opens up. We play Kansas homecoming this week. You got to win by three. Yeah, got to win by three possessions or I'm going to be pissed. You know, we play West Virginia on the road, which is somewhat of a tough game, but they're not really playing that well. And then we play TCU at home. And then we play Texas Tech on the road. And then it's Bedlam. So I think all four of those games we can easily win. The hardest part about it is now we almost have to root for Texas or OU to beat Iowa State. Because we need because right now it's a three-way tie. OU's in that one hole, and then the two slot is Baylor, Oklahoma State, Iowa State. We beat Baylor, Baylor beat Iowa State beat us. So we're all tied for second place right now. So the thing is we need to get to a point where worst case scenario, Iowa State's out and we tie with Baylor, but we have head-to-head, and so we go. So the thing is I need Texas or OU to really beat them. And because if Iowa State wins out the rest of the season, then they would go in over us. And we just don't want to get into a scenario where, you know, we have to win Bedlam to get to the Big 12 title. That's the nightmare thing, because winning Bedlam is enough pressure, but trying to get to the Big 12 title with that too is just, it's never been good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. What other games caught your guys' eye this weekend? Like I said, I didn't watch.
Well, we haven't talked about the OU game yet. So,
well, let's get into it then. How did you feel about it?
I mean, it's one of those things. In the first half, I think Lincoln Riley was calling the game for Spencer Rattler, and he forgot that Caleb Williams was the starter. There wasn't any. I told you guys
he has a crush on Spencer Rattler. It's his first quarterback he brought in. He cannot let Spencer Rattler be a fucking disaster, which it is. And he's got a crush on him.
Yeah, no, well, he wasn't calling any of those like RPOs or whatever the hell you want to call them. I don't think Lincoln Riley really has any RPOs. Sometimes they're more of just design quarterback runs. But he wasn't letting Caleb run the ball there in the first half. And we've seen that when you get the best Caleb Williams is when he's able to go out and use his feet and make things happen running. I mean, on fourth down, he's probably the best fourth down quarterback in the country when it comes to running the football and getting first downs. As you saw that one play where he just took the ball from Kennedy Brooks and got the first down.
Illegal.
But it was legal. We pulled up the rule book there and then the nice Big 12 conference. But no, I mean, it's one of those games where when they came into it, obviously they weren't mentally ready to play that football game. Half the players I feel like didn't even play anyways. I know we didn't have two of the starting receivers that we normally use. Not that that really even matters anyways, but the defense is banged up. I don't think they were mentally even wanting to play this game against Kansas. And that's the tricky thing when it comes to playing at Kansas, especially in Kansas when there's literally no one there. They're literally told people at halftime, come into the game for free. We don't care. We just need asses in seats right now.
Which I kind of like that move. I kind of liked it. It's like, you don't often get to be like, oh, something special might happen. And even though they didn't end up pulling it out, I think that was an awesome moment to just, especially like Kansas, they got that new, I don't know the name of that head coach, but you know, maybe he's going to be able to turn that program around and at least make them fucking not like a fucking top 10 team, but maybe a little.
No.
I mean, both, there's not a chance. You know, you
can see. It's Kansas, bro.
No,
it's
yeah. Kansas. Yeah. That is a through and through basketball school.
You can give them hope. Yeah. They had a little bit of hope in that game. They didn't pull it out, but you can have hope. You can have hope. Let's just.
Man, Gino was their only shot.
Yeah. But I mean, shout out to Kansas. They obviously were the ones that were ready to play football on Saturday. OU sluggish. Also, shout out to them for just completely cutting the power on the whole entire campus in the first quarter to where no one could talk to anyone from the booth down to like the sidelines.
Yeah. So
like
coaching wise. I saw that on Twitter. I didn't really know what the hell was going on about that.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
crazy.
I guess, I don't know. Obviously it's for everyone since the whole entire campus was out, but like the coaches couldn't communicate up to the booth with the other coaches up there. The scoreboards weren't working. Literally nothing was working. Thank God ESPN has like generators.
They had to pay their bills.
Yeah, that's the joke that we were making at the party that was at watching the game. But thank God ESPN has generators and we were able to see the shit show that was that football game. But, you know, being down 10 at halftime, I was like, this is actually not a bad spot because it could have been a lot worse considering the way that Kansas was able to move the ball on that defense.
So yeah, I mean, being that down first 10, half, the you guys actually, it should have, like, I think there was a, I can't remember the exact play. Jake, maybe you can help me out with it. But I think there's a play where if they would have just done one thing different, they probably would have went up 17-0 into the half, got the ball back. And the thing about the Kansas, the reason I think they were able to make that work, not I think, I mean, it was pretty clear. I think everyone could see it, is they were, clock management was like a fucking plus. I mean,
oh yeah, OU, I don't know, had what the time of possession was. Three times in the first half.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I don't know what the time of possession was in the first half, but Kansas like just slowly ran that ball down the field. And for it to be 10-0 a half saved you guys. I mean, that's nothing for you guys. I almost said that. I think I did say that on the, or not on the live stream, but to Jake, we were watching it. I think I did tell him, like, I mean, you guys are just going to beat them in the fourth quarter. There's no question. If they can't go up three scores, you guys, not that you guys couldn't come back from three scores as well, but to go up only 10, that's too easy for OU to make the corrections. But it was nice to see them put that pressure on you guys and really make it a cool game to watch. I mean, that was like,
yeah,
you never say that about Kansas. You'll never, I mean, there's what, one, two times in the past decade that you could be like, that was a cool game to watch. The only other time was, and fuck Texas fans for trying to give you guys shit. You guys at least, yeah, it was a close game, but you guys at least beat them. They fucking lost to them. What was it, 2016 or 17 or whatever? Like,
yeah.
Texas fans, fuck you. You got no room to talk. By the way, shout out. I was going to say, I went to the MGK concert and, you know, he's got this new album coming out, Born with Horns. He kept doing like, everyone put your hands up. If he had any sense of like where he was at, he would have been like, it's put your hands up, now put them down. You know, that would have fucking blown. I mean, in Oklahoma, that would have blown the roof off. I mean, there was no roof. It was at the Zoo Amphitheater, but what a show that was. Anyway, that I remember in that moment taking a like 30 seconds from the show and just being like, wait, my sports brain is telling me that he should fucking know where he's at and just be like, horns down. That would have been fucking electric. But yeah, fuck Texas.
Like I was going to say, dude, the thing is with Caleb Williams, I think the thing was OU try to put him in tough situations because it's Kansas, you know. I think the thing was, is like I said before, I'm not 100% sold on him throwing deep ball downfield because it's one of those things of Caleb right now is looking like he's throwing to the designed route, but not really checking down and checking off a bunch of things because there was some plays where – I mean, he had, I think Kennedy Brooks one time just ran out to the flat.
No, yeah, it was the interception he threw. He had Kennedy Brooks in the flat open for 15 or 20 yards, maybe probably even more. And he threw that interception.
He had
Jaden Hazelwood open on that route. He just waited too long to throw that ball, but he still should have checked it down to Brooks and got the first down.
Yeah, but you know, you just have to think in your head, like, yeah, I can make a tough throw to Jordan Hazelwood, or I can make a super easy throw to Kennedy Brooks. He's going to get 15, and then it's Kansas. Yeah. They got to tackle an open space and blah, 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 and all those things. But just the little checkdowns against Kansas will kill them because, man, from hat for hat, you're going to beat Kansas. So
yeah,
it's one of those things that happen. And then you saw it. I think OU came out lackadaisy in the first half, and then second half they like, you know, you ran that reverse play and, you know, you started seeing them focus where nobody was smiling on the sideline anymore. It was like, okay, now we have to win.
I mean, and the fact that OU different. Had to go into the bag of tricks against Kansas it still should be embarrassing. But yeah,
Zero points in the first half. Zero. Then
touch the scoreboard. Yeah, it hasn't happened since 2014 Clemson in a bowl game. So.
But we did talk about it last week, how this was a game to put Caleb Williams in unique positions that he wouldn't necessarily see in practice, maybe, or you don't want to do it against a team that can fucking actually beat you. But the thing I was talking about this with my barber today. Shout out the haircut. Got Cam Martin's Premier Barbershop in Edmond. Even though that was kind of like a let's test Caleb Williams type game, it should never have been that close. It should never have been that close. Not one, because even though you guys got injuries on the defense and whatnot, it just shouldn't have fucking been that close. Nonetheless, you guys got the win. I don't like it. I would have much rather seen you guys take the L. But nonetheless, you got the win. You're still 8-0, and there's only 8-0
for the first time since 2004, baby.
Yeah, and there's only a handful of teams left that are 8-0, and I think you guys and BYU are the only 8-0 teams to be playing this weekend that could potentially go 9-0. So that's pretty unique too. Maybe Texas Tech, the Go Red Raiders. Is Ed Orgeron going to go to Texas Tech, Jake?
No.
I know. Probably not. But that would be cool. Go Red Raiders.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week for Tech as well, having just fired their head coach yesterday and coming into play. I don't know.
I don't know if it's going to make a difference for Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, Cumbie is a good coach. I believe in Cumbie, but firing Matt Wells in the middle of the season is just insane.
Not to mention the guy had to deal with COVID, doing all the COVID stuff, you know, in his was that his second year, I think?
Yeah.
This was his third. So, yeah, Texas Tech thinks they're like on par or wants to be on par with an A&M or Texas when it comes to like going and getting like the people that they want to get. But the thing is, they're not going to be able to go and get, you know, like a top premier head coach because no one wants to go to fucking Lubbock, Texas.
Preach, brother.
You got to be like that K-State. I mean, you got to reach, you got to eventually do something. But like at the end of the day, yeah, Texas Tech it's in shambles. I mean, OU gets another super lucky break of now you got to play this is going to be his first time head coaching a game. And then you got to do it against OU. And it's just, I mean, it's a big thing. I get from Texas Tech standpoints why they're pissed is because the back half of their schedule is insane. They haven't played Baylor. They haven't played Oklahoma State. They haven't played Iowa State. They're like, basically the top five teams are still left. Like Texas Tech legitimately might lose 7 games in a row. Like they might go 5-7. They might not win another game because how crazy their schedule is.
That could be the case, but let's get into our picks. We got about 7 minutes to wrap up. So let's make this a quick fire. Let's just get our picks out there. So week 9 picks this week, I'm going to take Boise State -2.5 at Colorado State. I just think that's two. I don't know. I haven't watched any of Colorado State, but Boise State seems to be on a wave. So I just think they're going to take that one. I mean, it's Boise State. Just take 2.5. Georgia -14. They're at Florida. I'm going to take Georgia. I mean, I don't know why I said that one instead about 8-0 teams. Disregard that fucking shit. 8-0 teams. Georgia's going to go 8-0 or 9-0. I don't know what the hell they are, but they're going to win 14 by more than 14 at Florida. I don't think Florida's the team we thought they were at. I think after week 4, maybe week 5. So I think
rivalry game now.
What's that?
Yeah, rivalry game though.
It's Georgia. Florida can't put numbers on the board, and Georgia can stop them from doing that like that. And so even though they don't have a great offense, I think Georgia -14. And then I'm going to go with some OU transfer players, and I'm going to back SMU +1 against Houston. They got a top 10. They got a pretty good offense down there in SMU. Number 6 in points in the country, top 10 total yards. Houston's got a really good defense, but I just think that Tanner Mordecai and that – who's that fucking tight end? Cal?
Grant Calcaterra.
Those guys, I think they're just hitting on cylinders, and SMU's got a roll. And so I'm just going to take SMU +1. I actually think they win the game. I think +1 points, it's either you win the game or you fucking don't. I know, Jake, you pushed a one-point game, but usually if it's +1 and they cover that, they're going to win. So I'm taking SMU +1. Georgia -14 and Boise State -2.5. Preston, give out your picks real quick and then we'll hit Jake.
Yeah, 13-13 on the season. This week I'm taking the over 62 in the Cincy versus Tulane game. I think Cincinnati, their offense should be able to get that almost by themselves.
That's a good
pick. And then this one, this is just because both defenses are terrible and both offenses can probably sling it. I'm taking the over 66.5 in the OU versus Texas Tech game. I think that one can hit. And then I'm taking the under 50.5 in the Michigan versus Michigan State game. That just gives me a Big Ten football feel right there. And I don't think they're going to score over 50 points in that one.
Who do you think is going to win that game?
I think probably Michigan will. But I just don't think there's going to be big points on the board in that one.
Fair. Jake, hit us with it.
Okay. So obviously take a Thursday, Friday game. I think it's Friday. So they played great last week. So I'm taking Navy +11 against Tulsa because Tulsa's just screwed me. Even though I think Tulsa's a decent team, they've just killed me all season. And then I'll take Texas Tech +20. I mean, I don't know why I haven't been taking OU's opponents every week. I think they've covered 8 times in a row. So it's just like, man, just take whoever plays OU. And then, obviously, I always take game day. It's Michigan State. 4.5 Michigan. I'll take Michigan. I think the thing is Michigan State's really squeaked by. Michigan's squeaked by too, but I think they've done a little bit more and a little bit better to prove themselves. And it's a huge weekend just in general for the Big Ten of Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. So you're going to have an undefeated team go down, and if Penn State gets throttled, they're out. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. I like those picks. We're going to head into some NBA. Well, NBA will be towards the end. We're going to head into a little NFL talk. I want to ask you guys about the Tom Brady 600 ball debate that's going on. And then I got a little proposition I want to talk to you guys about the OKC Thunder. Let's get right into that. All righty. Into the NFL. That 600 ball Tom Brady threw on for 600. I mean, I think he's at 602 now, but 600 touchdowns is just absolutely insane. I mean, obviously you got to play for a long time, but you got to play at a very high level for a long time. That dude that got the ball, though, I mean, you got to have situational awareness and know how much leverage you just gained to make, like, probably, I don't know what that guy's situation is in life, but probably make a lot of money that he's never made before.
You have to be aware if you're Mike Evans when you catch that touchdown. You have to know that's the 600 touchdown because they're talking about it on the sidelines. You know they have to be. And you could have saved the team and everyone else so much hassle right there if you just keep the football and take it back to the sidelines. And you don't have to worry about this. We wouldn't even be talking about this right now.
That's actually a very fair point that I did kind of think about it, but I haven't heard it on like the main, like, you know, Pat McAfee show, any Barstool shows that are talking about it. I haven't heard it on any of those yet. That's a good point. Mike Evans is just as unsituationally aware as that fan is because, yeah, if he doesn't give that to a fan, there's no free tickets, there's no signed jerseys, there's no debate, there's no giving this guy Bitcoin, which actually might be the best part of this whole package. The fact that, I mean, I think it's cool that they're going to give him like signed jerseys and a helmet and signed jerseys from Mike Evans and game cleats, which he could probably auction off. Giving $1,000 to your team store is fucking nothing. It should have been like,
oh, yeah, it's 5, like two 000. Jerseys, bro. Like,
yeah, you can get two jerseys, a hoodie, and maybe like a fucking, you know, a mug or something.
Yeah,
that's nothing to a team store. I mean, jerseys are what, $175? A hoodie's probably $120. I mean, you get three or four of those, and that's you just fucking blew your budget. But yeah, you gotta be situationally aware as a fan. I remember back when Jeter hit his 3,000th hit, and it was a home run. First off, and I can't confirm it because my grandpa's dead, rest in peace. But I remember sitting there telling my grandpa before that game, I was like, Jeter's going to hit a home run to left field for his 3,000th hit. And he fucking did. And the guy that caught it basically got nothing for it. Like, he's just like, oh yeah, it's a cool experience. Like, no, dude, you can make a fucking, these guys like have done careers to get to these points. They will get that fucking ball back and they'll give you what you want for it. I mean, obviously they're not going to give you $100 million, but you're going to get a shit ton of money for it.
No, that's just because Derek Jeter is a scumbag, so that doesn't matter.
All right, well, I'm cutting that because we're not having any fucking Jeter slander talking here. That's very rude, Preston. That's strike
average
one.
Average to below average.
We're moving on. Arizona Cardinals are 8-0 or whatever they are. We're moving on. That is disrespectful. I've never disrespected.
Overrated?
Justin. Jesus, Jake, you want to talk about overrated? You guys were fucking dogs as a number eight team. Fuck you. Oh, wow. We're moving on. Whew. I don't even know what we're talking about. Arizona Cardinals are probably the best team in the league, right? I mean, they're undefeated and they're just rolling.
They might catch a break this week too with Devontae Adams being on the COVID list. So,
yeah, I mean, that's huge for the Packers. I mean, that might be the best game of the season so far, right? I mean, if he ends up, even if he isn't in the game, I think it's going to be a really good game. But yeah, that does hurt the Packers. Damn, dude, they caught a break playing the Texans. The Texans have scored, I think, what, 8 points in 3 weeks? Talk about down bad. I don't know if I've seen a team as down bad as them. I mean, even the Detroit Lions are at least making games.
Shout out to Jake on, pardon my take, another scoregami 2 weeks in a row. That one,
yeah, what
I think
was the
Houston
unique
scored,
score?
What,
like 31-5?
Yeah.
And then another unique score. I mean, I think the Giants-Panthers game into halftime was 5-3, which
it was something like that.
It's insane. But yeah, the Cardinals are like the team to beat. And I was actually talking to someone about this. Is Kyler Murray great? I know, Preston, you're going to say yes, but, and I'm not saying, I'm not taking away from his talent. I think he actually is a really good quarterback. I think he could be a really great quarterback for how long, I don't know. But he's also got a great defense on the other side of the ball behind him. And then around him, he's got great talent. I mean, he's got, I don't know who the running back is, but he's got a great running back. And then you got Christian Kirk, AJ Green, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you just got talent left and right on you. And it's
yeah, they just added Zach Ertz. Yeah.
Zach Ertz.
They definitely have one of the best offenses in the NFL. I think Kyler's probably one of the top ones in the MVP race at the moment. It's just one of those things where everything has shaken down their way so far this season. And really looking at their schedule going forward, they have a chance to really put up a big number when it comes to wins this season, as they really haven't played like a super tough schedule. I think they beat the Rams a couple of weeks ago, and they're going to have to play the Packers this week. But, you know, if the Packers don't have Davante Adams, that kind of diminishes that game just a little bit right there, you know?
Yeah, you're actually right. I'm looking at it right now. It's Packers this week, which is a huge game. You know, if they can get through the Packers, then they do kind of have a little soft stretch, because they got the 49ers who are kind of down. Then they got the Panthers who are definitely down. They lost to the Giants. You're down if you lose to the Giants. And I'm a Giants fan. I'm going to say that. I'm allowed to say that. And then they got the Seahawks, who are very down bad. Even if Russell Wilson is able to come back at that point, I don't know if that team is going to be, you know, as explosive as they were before Russell Wilson went down. And so, yeah, and then they got a bye week. So if they get through the Packers, that puts them at what, 9-0? You could be looking at a 12-0 team heading into week 13. I mean, you really could. It's actually quite insane. And then they play the Bears. And so, they could end up with a freaking hefty record and a hefty gap between them and number two. I think number two is actually the Packers. So yeah, it's pretty interesting season so far for the Cardinals. I think the Packers, you know, they squeaked by. The Browns are the interesting team, because the Browns were supposed to not be the Browns again anymore. And then all of a sudden they're the Browns again. And who knows? What are they going to do? Is Baker coming back at any, is he going to rush back? I don't know if it's a serious injury. At this point, do you just keep him out and just let him get healthy and move on to next year? Trade Odell, maybe. I mean, that's been the talk of the town there. Do you trade Patrick Mahomes? Can you? I mean, his contract's a little too large for that. But holy shit, Patrick Mahomes down bad.
Whew. He is Texas Tech Patrick Mahomes right now, and I love every second of it. He and the Kansas City Chiefs are absolutely terrible this year, and they have a chance to not do shit this year, if we're being honest with their schedule coming up. So,
yeah, I mean, they're going to be the most, I mean, if you're looking at teams at like top of the top and then all the biggest drop there, that's the biggest drop I've seen in a long time. I mean, probably since Alex Smith was there when they went like, what was it? Freaking 15-2 or whatever, where Alex Smith had one touchdown the whole year. I mean, they're down bad. Down. I haven't seen a team fall off like that in a long time. And I don't know if is it Patrick Mahomes?
It might be because they're paying their star quarterback, you know, half of the payroll, and they can't really afford to pay anyone else. You know, that could be the reason. I'm not sure. You know,
I'm not a math magician either, but I think that could also be the case. The team that's probably doing it right is the Bills. They pay their quarterback a hefty contract, but not so hefty that they can't put it anywhere else. And they're probably them. And I've been saying it, and I said it today again, to my barber is talking to him a lot. I think that the quarterbacks of this future of this league, and I said it earlier, it's Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and I'm going to add one more to the table. Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow, if Cincy can just do one thing right and figure out the rest of the team, like the line, the defense, they can score. I mean, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase are going to score if you allow them. I think
Jamar Chase is having one of the best seasons, like almost going to be ever for a rookie wide receiver.
Yeah, he's right there with Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think the AFC North is the Cincinnati Bengals to hold on to probably for the foreseeable future, at least definitely this year. if not the next few years, especially as they get better and as they continue to add pieces through the draft, through the free agents. And I think teams, or I think free agents are going to see that, you know, I don't know how free agent players perceive the Cincinnati Bengals as a franchise as a whole, but if you're a skill player looking for somewhere to go, that's probably where you want to go. Almost as how Arizona was able to pick up some guys. I know they did it through trades and then they picked up J.J. Watt, but it's almost like they saw the potential there. I think that's going to be the same thing in the next year or two with Cincinnati and Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase up there. They're going to see the potential up there, and players that are, you know, coming off, veteran players that are looking for somewhere to go that is on the up and up, and also on, they're just winning now. That's going to be a place to go.
That kind of happened with, and they got, you know, the best center from last year from the Packers. He came free agent to the Chargers. They picked up a couple other, you know, offensive linemen. And of course they've all gotten hurt now, so it doesn't really matter.
Who do you guys play this weekend, Preston?
Patriots at home. So
that'll be an interesting matchup. I don't think the Patriots are any good. I think you guys win that game, but it's still an interesting matchup. Young quarterback, you know, Patriots are always one to, you don't ever question, even doesn't matter what the record shows. You don't put them out of the question in terms of winning a game. Any other NFL football talk you guys want to hit on? Detroit, they're not good, but they're able to stay in games. I don't know what the heck it is going on up there. They can't win them, but they can stay in them. LA Rams, they barely beat the Detroit Lions. So it's pretty crazy. The Bucs, they're rolling. Broncos down. I don't know. I don't really have much else to say for the NFL. I think it was a quiet weekend. I didn't actually watch too much of the NFL. So if you guys ain't got much of that, well, we're going to move on to NBA. And I have a question for you guys. I have a theory. I think within the next 10 years, and actually I kind of truly believe within the next 6 years, a championship from the NBA finals, a parade will happen in a city that we all live in. I think a title is going to be coming here in the next 6 to 10 years. I think
they have a lot of work to do. That's all I have to say.
But they don't have that star piece yet, but they're doing a similar thing as what Milwaukee did. Milwaukee is a small market team that should never have won the championship, right? They shouldn't have done it. I think OKC is setting up for the future. They haven't found that guy yet, but they found those pieces around that guy for when they do find them, whether it be through the draft, through the free agencies, through a trade or something. They got, I mean, SGA is a stud. That Giddy kid, he's going to be real good. And I Lou Dort, you know, I don't know how he's doing. I haven't watched too much basketball this year, but what I do know is OKC is developing those role players to go around someone, and that someone is not there yet. And when that someone comes through and you guys have five guys on the bench that could be starters, or five guys on the bench that are true six man contenders, not actually, but you know, they could be anywhere else. You guys are going to have the depth for when that star guy comes in, or multiple star players come in to make a championship run. I do believe that. I think they
are. Well, and the thing is with small market NBA teams like Oklahoma City, you have to build through the draft, because you're not going to go out and get the big name free agent to come to Oklahoma City and play for you. That's just not going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It rarely happens. The only reason Cleveland was able to get LeBron back is because he's from Cleveland. And that's one of those things, is that you have to build through the draft. And the Thunder right now, they have the pieces to build through the draft. And their starters, like, they're not terrible. The reason they're not being able to stay in games is because once the starters go out, the bench players just can't keep up with the other teams and put points on the board. So they get down by 20 points. And then after that, it's just, you know, oh, well.
But I do think that's part of and I hate to use the term because we know how the process worked up in Philly, but I do think that is part of the process. Get those non-starters that you have now, those bench players, those role players, get them the garbage time now, so that a year or 2 years from now, when they're still on the team and you guys have found that player through the draft where it's like, okay, this guy might be what we're building around. You do have that trust in those bench players and those role players, and be like, yeah, they've played. We've put them through the fucking ringer. They've developed. I think that's the process. I mean, Philly tried doing the whole process. It didn't work out. I think the process is building around a star player you don't have yet, so that when you do get that star player, you have the trust in your whole team, the rest of your team, your starters, your bench, all of it, to step up and have a deep roster. It's a matter of, do you guys hit in the draft this coming year? Do you guys hit in the draft in 2 years? Do you guys hit in the draft in 3 years?
Well, as long as they don't get absolutely screwed by the NBA lottery, I think we'll be good. I mean, you know, you sit here, you're thinking you're going to get a top five pick easily, and you're sitting outside the top five getting hosed. Yeah, it's turned out Giddey's looking pretty good to start the season. I was down on him to when he got drafted, but he's played good so far this season. You see the things there that he could do. It's just the Thunder, I think, are one of the youngest teams in the NBA by like a mile. And it just, you have to work through all those pains of getting the rookies in, getting them playing time. Also, Poku, go to freaking Whataburger, get you a couple cheeseburgers, bro. Let's put some pounds on. Let's get you beefed up, unless you want to be playing for the OKC Blue here in a couple weeks.
But yeah, dude, Jake, I don't know if you got anything to say on the Thunder thoughts, but I do think if you have enough draft picks that if you fucking get four draft picks in the top 15, 20, and none of them hit, maybe that's just a franchise problem then. And I'll take everything I said back about you guys potentially winning the chip. But I do think if you guys just, even if you can hit on one or two of those top 15, 20 draft picks that you'll get over the next couple of years, because you have multiple first round picks over the next, what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know what it is at this point, because you just keep getting them. It's hard to keep up. It's almost like at what point, I'm not going to go down that trap, but it's like hard to keep up with how many picks you guys have. And so it's really a matter of, do you guys hit on them or not? And I think you guys will at some point, and it's just a matter of when. But I think as of right now, if you look at it, the building that they're doing, they're setting the foundation. The hopes are you guys are setting the foundation to do what Milwaukee did, get a big player, and then all of a sudden take that next leap and have a great foundation behind that big player down the line. So I'm on the closer end of six. I'm optimistic. But I say 6 to 10 years, a championship parade will happen in downtown.
I would say probably 10 to 15 would be more likely, if anything.
Pessimistic. Jake, what do you say?
Oh, man, dude, I almost made this whole episode without saying a word. I feel like the dog in the background there in Preston after this weekend. But, yeah, it's going to take a long time to get the thing. You got to get the picks. I mean, we've done it before. We drafted Kevin Durant, drafted Harden, drafted Westbrook. So you have to do it again with the amount of picks and the amount of time that we have to wrestle around. I think we can get it done. The thing that does hurt us is that we came so close so many times, and I think that's going to discourage a lot of people. Of if you're thinking like, oh, I could go to Oklahoma City, but then it's like, but maybe OKC might be cursed. So it's like, I don't know if I want to go there or not, but I think it'll be the same way of, you just have to look at like, I think the Golden State Warriors are the ones that really did it, because they still had Curry on that small contract and Thompson on the small contract. They even had enough cap space to bring in Durant at the time.
And they got super lucky with Steph getting injured like early in his career, so they didn't have to pay him that big fat contract that he would have got. So they got lucky that way. But yeah, things definitely shook down the right way for the Warriors to do what they did.
But it's a new era. It's the Paycom Center. Paycom runs Oklahoma, and I think they're gonna get some players in here. I think they're gonna make some changes.
But talking about basketball, where college basketball is going to start up, because homecoming is this week for us, which is always a big homecoming and hoops of, they're not doing it in GIA. They're doing it at frat or something, and everybody's pissed at Oklahoma State. But
rightfully so.
My school is going to play your guys' old school in a scrimmage, in an exhibition. It'll be Oklahoma State will play UCO in a little exhibition. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, bro, I'm telling you right now, if we're not
those Broncos 50, are gonna fucking buck them Cowboys right off out of there, right off the court.
I mean, you guys have no chance, dude. We're looking good this season, but
I didn't even make the top 25. Shame.
I mean, but that's the thing is we should, I think in basketball, we should be a top 25 team easy.
I agree.
Because really, we have two 2 5-star guys that came in. We lost Cade and got 2 5-stars. So, and yeah, we got a center. But
I
one
think
of
you
the
guys
best
are like the low key team. You guys are probably going to make a good run this year. Yes. I don't know. If you guys drop the first 10 games, maybe not. But I do think you guys are on the cusp of a good year for basketball. But I want to talk about one last thing, completely under sports related, not even sports related. It's just way off left field. Preston, I know Jake has, but Preston, have you seen the movie Dune?
No, I was going to watch it here in the next couple of days.
Worth it, dude. That movie is fucking awesome. That
I've heard mixed reviews on it. Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews on it, but I'm definitely planning on giving it a watch probably on Thursday, maybe tomorrow night, something like
that. It's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Pay attention because it is a lot of like it's foundation laying. It tells you how the world that the movie revolves in works. It tells you, you learn things about the characters and the cultures and whatnot. And then my favorite, the soundtrack was scored by Hans Zimmer. And so it was just an awesome movie all around. I usually don't. Jake knows this because I lived with Jake for a long time. Jake knows that I'm not a big movie buff. And if I like a movie, it's probably pretty damn good. If you haven't seen Ad Astra, you got to go see it. Maybe not go see it, but rent it or something.
I haven't seen that one either.
Ad Astra, no. Great movie, top 10 all time.
He's trolling on that one.
No, right. I am not trolling. That is 100%. Ad Astra is a good
fucking
movie.
I promise you,
Ad Astra is a good movie. But seriously, Dune, what blew it out of the water. I'm thinking of going to see it again, but I want to see it in theaters with the Dolby Atmos. I've read a lot about how you just got to watch it there. I watched 1918 in theaters in Dolby Atmos, and the sound effects of that movie played great with Dolby. So I'm probably going to try to go see that in theaters as well. Dune, it was a great movie. I love it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's on HBO Max or whatever. Watch it. It's a fucking great movie. And let us know what you think. Preston will give everyone a review after he watches it, maybe next week or something. He'll let everyone know. So put in the comments if you've seen it, what you think. Give it a little 9 or give it a 10.0 scale rating. I give it a fucking 9.8. 9.8 is what I give it. It's a fucking great movie. Seriously, so cool. Preston, Jake, any last thoughts on Dune, Ad Astra, any other movies, any other sports talks? Let's wrap this up. You guys got any?
Yeah, I had one last thing. I know basketball isn't a big thing really in Norman for OU, but pretty excited to see what Porter Moser brings to the table for the Sooners this year.
Yeah, he's out of, where'd he come from?
Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, that's actually going to be pretty cool. I saw a hype clip or whatever. He was talking to some students and whatnot. I think that is going to be pretty cool. I always think that basketball environments are a little bit different because I feel like the fans, you're right there. You're right by the court. I mean, it's not the same with football because there's just so many. I feel like basketball is a little bit more intimate in terms of fans and court, pressure feeling, whatever you will. I think it's pretty cool that you guys got a coach that like engages with the fans in that sense. So that's going to be cool to see down in Norman. I don't hate
he's
OU
really
basketball
good.
As much as I hate OU football. But that'll be cool to see. Jake, any last thoughts?
I think he's a really good coach. I think he'll take you guys places, especially when you get into the SEC. I don't know about the Big 12. I think you guys are projected 8th this year. So, it's going to be tough. Even Texas is ranked high, which is kind of strange, but the Big 12 in basketball,
always good.
That's the best part about it is Big 12 is the best conference in basketball right now. And especially down the road when we add Cincinnati and Houston and Central Florida and BYU, like it makes it even crazier.
Yeah, I actually think so that is on the basketball side a really good addition. Obviously, you guys lose Texas for that, but whatever. I mean, fuck them, right? They'll go to the SEC and get crushed in football.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, like button, whatever it is, however you're watching or listening, just follow along, please. It really does help. Follow us on Twitter at The Bake Is Here, at PrestonPool405, and at Jake Cart. And maybe toss a little follow at Rabid Rabbit Hole, but you don't have to. It's okay. I really don't tweet from that account. It's just there just in case. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Till next week, go Red Raiders.